I was saying last week, we were talking about the gospel of the grace of God, and it's so important that we are grounded in what we believe, and to so that we don't wake up, like I said last week, with a shock, seeing that we really never understood what the gospel of the grace of God is. We spoke about, remember? You've forgotten. No, John, not you. Everybody else who was here last week, what did we speak about? The gospel of the grace of God, what is it first? What did Paul, yes, say? The sisters seem to know better. Repentance toward God. Why repentance toward God? Because God, we have sinned against God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we must know what we are repenting of. We are repenting of our sin, and to whom we are asking for repentance is God. You say, what about Jesus? Jesus paid the price for our sin. So God sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin. So we repent, we ask for forgiveness for all our past sin, we turn away from all sin, and God, who created us, who made us, who gave us life, who gave us breath, we have sinned against Him. God has been so good, but yet He made provision that you and I can come to Him, that come back into His family, become sons and daughters of God. That's what Paul solemnly testified to, the gospel of the grace of God. The other thing is, it's not just repentance, but faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Paul testified to, repentance and faith. These are two, like I said, they are twins. What God has joined, let no man separate. We can't just repent and ask God for forgiveness, but who are we going to believe in to pay the price for your sin and my sin? Who has made that sacrifice? It's Jesus Christ, and it doesn't come automatically. It's by faith. By faith. It's faith in what Jesus has done for you and me on the cross of Calvary. And we know what faith is. You know the definition of faith, in case you didn't know it. You go to Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11. I hope you have your Bibles today, because then you'll get to know the Bible. If you're not reading it during the week, at least here in church, but I hope we all take trouble to read God's Word and meditate on it. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And this is, for by it the men of old gained approval. I want you to think of that and underline it, that by it, that's by faith, men of old gained approval. We come back to here again, but I want you to see that the first mention, you know, where faith comes, interestingly, in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and that is Habakkuk and chapter 4. Habakkuk chapter 4. You know where that is? If you turn backwards, Malachi or Malachi, whatever you like to call. Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, and you come to Zephaniah, and then Habakkuk. Hope you got it? Very important word. Habakkuk chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4. And I want you to see in its context, it should speak to your heart and mind. You know, Habakkuk says, I will stand, verse 1, I will stand on my guard, on my guard post, and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me, and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Verse 4, here it is. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous will live by his faith. That's the first time we read that, and interestingly, in the Old Testament. And if I were to ask you, what is the opposite of faith? Immediately you will reply, unbelief. But the Holy Spirit calls it by another name, pride. As for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. So repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And those who turn away from that, it's because of pride. You get it? Because of pride, they do not want to repent. They do not want to accept what God has, the provision that God has made for us through Jesus Christ. It's pride. The more we get rid of pride, the more faith we get. The more we come to know God and get to know God. It says, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. You see what pride does. The soul is not right within him. And he feels, I don't need God. I don't need God. That's how it is in the West today. They don't need God. They have money, they have cars, they have houses, property. Why do I need God? There is no God. That is what they're saying today. There is no God. That's the age that we are living in, and our young people and our children are living in. So, if we understand, if we teach them right from small to humble themselves, and that humility comes from obedience, teach them to obey because they have to humble themselves to obey, then at one day they would get to know God. We can bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. So remember that, my brothers and sisters. The righteous will live by his faith. Remember that all the days of your life. And if you're not living by faith, it's because of pride. No other reason. Because of pride. You can say, no, because of this problem, that problem. I have difficult children, I have a difficult boss. Whatever it is, whatever difficulties you may have, you can have faith and overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world, John says in John 5, even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes. Maybe let's turn there. It's a good word to remember. John chapter 5. If I remember that correctly, there was always a word that, 1 John, is it? Yeah. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. 1 John 5, 5, easy to remember. 1 John 5, 5. It says, you know, Well, you can read from verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. There's another beautiful promise. His commandments are not burdensome. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. There's another promise. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And further down you see that what, if you are born of God, we will not sin. Some wonderful promises God gives us here. And He says in verse 5, who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I lost that. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Yeah, sorry, verse 4, it says, whatever is born of God, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the, that's the word. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's 5:4. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. You see how important faith is. That is why we have to live by faith, if we have to overcome the world. And if we are not living by faith, it's because of pride. So I have to get rid of pride in my life and learn to humble myself every day in whatever situation and circumstance. Then I get faith. I get faith to overcome. Not just the world, but sin and all the other obstacles and hurdles the devil will put in our way. If I have faith, it's by faith we overcome. That is why it's by faith we receive the grace of God. It's repentance and faith we receive forgiveness. Proud people, you know, they claim to be self-made beings. They refuse to give glory to God. I remember one young brother who was here. He's not here anymore. And he told me, Brother Ian, I'm a self-made man. I'll never forget those words. I'm a self-made man. I know how he had humble beginnings. They were our neighbors. They were in CFC, but left CFC afterwards. I'm a self-made man. How many of you think like that, you young people? I'm a self-made man. Really? You don't give God the glory for whatever He has done for you and whatever He has made you. How can you be a self-made man? Your breath is in your nostrils. And all your abilities and intelligence and gifts and everything else is from God. Don't you want to give glory to Him? It's from God, to God. From God, through God, to God are all things. So see what a dangerous thing. That's why the Holy Spirit says here, the proud man, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous man will live by his faith. Okay, the next time this comes, this verse, the righteous man will live by his faith, comes 4 times. Once in the Old Testament and in Romans chapter 1 verse 17, which we have heard many times. Romans chapter 1 verse 17, Paul says here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God of salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. And here's a quotation from Habakkuk. But the righteous man shall live by faith. When you see something in capitals, you've heard that Brother Zach say that many times. Always go back to, you know, it's, you get revelation, you get understanding, not just, you know, in your head. Because you go back and you see in what context the Holy Spirit brings that into Romans. Why is Paul saying that? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, what we've just been talking. The gospel of the grace of God. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, that's in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. And that's what we just read in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 there. And it talks there in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, if you're there. Let me Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Well, it's good to read it in its context. It says, in it the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. And it speaks about the wrath of God being poured out. And if you read Romans chapter 1, it says how that when they abandoned giving thanks to God, they abandoned giving glory to God, they stopped living by faith, they became depraved. And that is the regression, that is the downward descension for those who stop living by faith, who become proud. It says, the righteous man or the righteous woman shall live by faith. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, Romans 10, good to keep note of these words and meditate and think on them when you get time. It speaks there. You know, I've quoted this word to some brothers I've counseled, you know, when they began to think there's somebody in the church. When they began to have a zeal, it says there, for these, you know, what Paul is speaking about, I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. There's no keeping of laws. And he speaks there about those who have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with the knowledge. They want to establish their own righteousness. They don't subject themselves to the righteousness of God. And then they become... That's how it was with the Pharisees. But it says here, the righteous man will live by faith. In it, that's in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That's the third time that comes. And all it began in Habakkuk 2. That's the origin of that. When it speaks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's when we have humbled ourselves. That's what Jesus did. Right from the beginning, when he came down from heaven, he emptied himself. He did not think equality with God a thing to be grabbed and held on to and grasped, but came down and he found himself as a man. He humbled himself further by becoming obedient to the cross, even death on that cross. Therefore God raised him up. That is the way. And that is the way we are to go. If you're really born again, all of you who have been baptized, I hope that is the way you've been going from the day you've been baptized, from day one. It should be that you're humbling yourself, you become obedient. And then you grow, there's development, you get to know God. And that's how it must be for each one of us. I really praise God. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So see how important faith is. And like I said, if we don't seek to get rid of pride in our life, that means we can't do it ourselves. That I yield myself to God, I yield myself to be born again, is that it's not just I repent, I go to get baptized in water, but I surrender to Him. And why do the elders pray? for those who have been baptized, so that you can get the Holy Spirit, so that you can give your body, you can surrender to Him. And the Holy Spirit takes up home in your heart. And like Jesus said in John 14, if you obey my commandments, I will disclose myself to you. And in verse 23 of that chapter, He said, if you obey my commandments, the Father will love you, and the Father and I will come and make our home with you. What an awesome thing it is. Don't think of salvation as just some kind of ritual. You come, you want to get baptized, you attend baptism classes and all that. But think of something awesome, that you're receiving something awesome. You're receiving God's seed in you, which, if it is fed by the Holy Spirit with the life of God, you will become the man of God that God has planned for you on this earth. It's awesome when you think about it. It's not just something that you want to get baptized and I hope it's genuine, your repentance towards God, not some semblance of repentance. And I hope you have faith in Jesus Christ. And then you get baptized. And God has already sown a seed in your heart. There'll be wonderful things that God has for you. I praise God for all the 56 years I've known the Lord. There have been sometimes ups and downs. But it's been a wonderful life to know Jesus. It's been wonderful what God can do for you in different situations where you know Him, experience Him personally. The righteous man, the righteous woman will live by faith. Okay, number three. Galatians 3:11. Galatians in chapter 3, verse 11. This is the third time we read that word. You know, when something comes so many times in the Bible, it's good to focus on it. And see, why is a word like that coming four times? That means the Holy Spirit is attracting our attention, how important it is to live by faith. Galatians chapter 3. And we can read from verse 8. The scripture foreseeing, Galatians 3:8, that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, you and me, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Just think of it, that God was thinking of you and me when Abraham came on the scene. And that was the promise. What is the blessing of Abraham? All the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith, verse 9, are blessed with Abraham the believer. For as many as, he is the first believer, Abraham the believer, he was the father of faith. And that's where our origins. And then finally, when Jesus came on the scene, and sealed our salvation. He says then, verse 10, as many of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. So now that no one is justified the law before God is evident, and here it is again, for the righteous man shall live by faith. The righteous man shall live by faith. Verse 12, however, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. So it's dangerous to be a legalist. You're living by rules and laws and commandments and even CFC laws and rules. I want to tell you, you're heading somewhere else. You can't be part of the kingdom of God, because he says the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. If you try to live by rules and laws and commandments, you're under a curse. People are so afraid. Talking to somebody, or somebody was worried that father-in-law or in-laws were throwing curses at them. I'm surprised. Somebody from this church. People are afraid of curses. Their in-laws or mother-in-law or father-in-law or their neighbor is putting a curse on them. And somebody throws something into your compound and because they're so afraid. They're afraid of somebody putting a curse on you. Long back, I praised the Lord when I saw this. What we read further on there in Galatians and chapter 3. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So if you're a legalist, if you're living by laws and commandments and rules, whatever it is, new covenant rules and new covenant commandments and CFC commandments, CFC rules, you're under a curse. You know, there's no growth, no development. Christ has redeemed us. He set you free from the curse of the law, because cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Praise the Lord. That is why, if you are living by rules and commandments, why is it you have not received the Holy Spirit? Because you are living under a curse. Curse, not some magical curse. But there's no growth. You're withered up. Like Jesus, when he cursed that fig tree because he saw no fruit on it, it withered up. So if you're living by rules and commandments instead of living by faith, you'll never blossom. And worst of all, you'll never receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so if you want that blessing of Abraham, it says there in verse 14, in order that in Christ Jesus, listen to it, read it carefully, my brothers and sisters, Christ redeemed us, verse 13, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So no curse can come on you. Whoever may try to do you harm and put some curse on you, whatever. No curse, because Jesus took it. He became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, and Jesus hung on that tree and he took the curse for us. So the devil has no power over me, over my family, your job, your business. He has no power if you have been redeemed from the law by Christ. And he says that Jesus did that in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That is the blessing of Abraham, that you receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That is why it says the righteous man shall live by faith. And it's by faith to faith we go on in this life. We cannot live if you're not living by faith. If you're not living by faith, then some area of your life you become proud. And that's why it says that the righteous man, that's the third time that comes, shall live by faith. Lastly, in the last time we read this word, what we read in Habakkuk, but the righteous man shall live by faith. I want to see how important, when you study the scriptures and you get revelation, it revolutionizes your life. Then you really see how important it is to live by faith. Not just reading the Bible, going to meetings, praying, but to live by faith. Whatever happens in the office, whatever happens in your neighborhood, whatever happens in the home, We, as we read earlier, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And that is why the Holy Spirit, four times in the Bible, He reminds us, the righteous man, the righteous woman shall live by faith. In the last, Hebrews chapter 10, wonderful, beautiful word there. Hebrews chapter 10, like that we read it in all these words, don't just read it, but I would encourage you to meditate on it, read it in its context. And Hebrews chapter 10, it begins, you're not going to take time to read that, but Hebrews chapter 10 is a good word to, is a good chapter to think and meditate on. And there is a reference to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. See that in caps there, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. May God burn these words into your heart. It takes out the struggle from the Christian life. It takes out trying and striving and all that. I tell you, when I understood what the new covenant is, not just in my head, when I began to experience it, I experienced this. God says, this is the promise, this is the covenant I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I'll put my laws upon their heart and on their mind. I will write them. And he then says, verse 17, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, sometimes with such beautiful promises like this, which we don't let the Spirit burn into our hearts, we bring ourselves under condemnation, we allow the devil to come. Like I was listening to something this morning that was in the Old Covenant, when he came to accuse Zechariah, who was clothed in filthy garments. But think, under the New Covenant, Jesus has taken off those filthy garments. It's a beautiful picture there in Zechariah. But here's a word which tells us what the New Covenant is. God says, I'll write my laws on your heart, on your mind, I'll write them. And your sins and your lawless deeds, I'll remember no more. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any sin. Then it says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, verse 19, I hope you're following your Bible, by a new and living way which is inaugurated for us through the veil that is as flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. You know, when God says He's going to do all this, we just sit back. No, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. That we don't forsake coming to the meetings. We love to come to the meetings. We want to come to the meetings. And however we may feel, not forsaking the assembling together, as is the habit of some. There were some even in the first century who didn't make it a habit to come to fellowship. But encouraging one another. See, all this God says He'll do. And so what should we do? We gather together and we encourage one another, even if we can't get together every day. And we encourage one another. And it goes on to say, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. But we're not going to go there. We go down to verse 32 just now. You know, and remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. You showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. Therefore, it says, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, and that is our need, my brothers and sisters. Endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. There is that word again. My righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now, faith is assurance of things of unfortunate chapter division, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gain approval. By faith we understand. We understand all things, things concerning God and our future, by faith. And that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, for what is seen was not made of the things which are visible. And so all the debate and all that, excuse me, scientists say, we understand how the worlds were made. We don't get mixed up in all that. And it tells us there, these words in verse 6, in verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so he could not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. And he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you see, my brothers and sisters, I've not preached to you a sermon. It's something that I have experience I got out of God's word, which has encouraged me, and that's why I see the importance, how important it is to live by faith. And where do I get this faith? Right in the beginning, a repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Not just repenting of your sin. And say, I come to the meetings and I read my Bible and I pray. But do you have faith in God through Jesus Christ? Are you saying that you are living by faith? And as a result, the result of this, listen to it carefully, you will become more and more humble. Because we saw the origin of pride there in Habakkuk 2. We saw that for the proud man, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous man, the righteous woman, will live by faith. And so we see the importance of faith, that we can live our lives on this earth pleasing to God. That's how Enoch lived. And one day he went for a walk and God took him. One day we too also will be taken. Are we ready for that day? The righteous man, the righteous woman shall live by faith. Amen.
Generally, when you ask people, what is faith? They will say it is believing or trust or confidence. But there is a biblical definition of it, which we already saw. That is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says clearly what faith is. It's not just an abstract something we hope we get. If we don't get, we think our faith is not strong. Like some people say, you didn't receive your healing because you don't have enough faith. That's not true. It doesn't depend upon the faith that you have, but it depends on the person on which you have faith, on his word. And the biblical definition of faith is, it says very clearly, now faith is the evidence of things not seen. That means you're not seeing it, but it is evident. And it says conviction of things not assurance of things, or in the KJV it says faith is a substance of things not seen and evidence of things that we hope for. So this is to do with faith. We have evidence and we have substance when we believe in the one who has said that. And it also says in verse 6, who are the type of people who come to God in faith? It says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, this is biblical faith. Many people, or rather the whole world, when you ask people, do they have faith? They say, yes, they all have faith. Even atheists also have faith. I don't know whether you know it or not. They have faith that they believe that there is no God. That is their faith. And the Bible says, a fool says in his heart that there is no God. And that is the category of atheists, as the Bible says. Two times it says in the Psalms. The fool says in his heart that there is no God. And they believe that. And that is their faith. And everybody believes in something or the other. And we, as Christians, we are called to believe in the one who has created everything and who has been there from the beginning and who will be there till the end. And who knows the end from the beginning. And he has created and he will also wind up one day and make a new creation altogether. He who believes in Jesus is a new creation, old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new, that is as far as we are concerned, living in this earth. But after we leave this earth, one day God is going to wind up everything and make new heavens and new earth. That is a different kind of faith that we will be having. And in the same chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, we read of so many people who did something because of faith. Faith is not alone. Many people say, you have to have faith and nothing else. You are saved by faith alone. That is true. You are saved by faith alone, not by works of righteousness, whereby we can boast about our righteousness. But the Bible says very clearly that if you want to be saved by doing works of righteousness like the heathen do, many works of righteousness by giving alms and praying and fasting and so many things, they think by doing that, God is obligated to forgive me and take me to heaven. But the Bible is quite the contrary. I mean, it's just the opposite. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 64, verse 6, I think it says, all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags as far as God is concerned. And God doesn't accept anybody on the basis of our righteous works, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about that that all these people, maybe we read about Enoch. It says that he believed, and it says that about him that he pleased God. What's the meaning of pleasing God? Pleasing God is nothing but obeying him. And he speaks about Noah. Noah also believed, being warned of God that flood will come, and then he built an ark, it says. And then Abraham was called from the Ur of Chaldees, and God told him to go, and he went without knowing where he was going. And then it says about different people, Abraham went, and then it speaks about Moses. When Moses was born, they inculcated in him, the parents, some divine values which kept him going even after he was there in the palace of Pharaoh for 40 years in that wicked environment. He stayed, but still he kept himself pure. And it says that about Moses, by faith Moses, in verse 24, when he had grown up, he did something. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You see, Egypt was the superpower of those days, and he was going to be the next Pharaoh because he was Pharaoh's daughter's son. And he thought of all that riches and pleasure and enjoyment, all that he could wish for in this world was available there. But he decided, his eyes were opened to see beyond this world. He thought, this is only a temporary passing pleasure, it says. And once I leave this earth, I have to face someone which my daddy and mommy told about, before whom I have to stand and give an account. And because of that, he refused. So faith is not just alone, dear brothers and sisters. We read about it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, by grace through faith we have been saved. Not by good works. By grace through faith we are saved. Not by works. But in verse 10 it says, God has prepared good works for us in which we are to live, in which we are to walk. That means we have to do, or rather we are born again for good works, not because of good works. So faith alone is not sufficient. Faith, you know, when people came to John the Baptist, you read about that in Matthew 3, verse 7, or even before 7, people came, confessed their sins, and he told them what to do. After they confessed their sins, he told them, don't take more than what's required. He who has two tunics, let him share the one who doesn't have with the one who doesn't have. And do not force, and take only what is to the tax collectors, what is required. Don't extract more than what is required, and so on and so forth. They came, confessed, and then they were being baptized. But along came the Pharisees and Sadducees. They also thought they can get away without confessing and be baptized. But he had discernment. John the Baptist saw through their heart, and he said, you brood of vipers, meaning you sons of snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? Bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. So that is very, very essential. you bring forth fruit as an evidence that there is an inner change in you, and that is being manifest through your external work. And if that has not happened to any of us, we are only counting on faith. I believe faith without works accompanied by it. Subsequently, I mean, not prior to that, then I'm on shaky ground. The Bible says very clearly that faith is not alone. You know, we read in James chapter 2, verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 17. You know, here it says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead. See, all these people recorded in verse chapter 11 of Hebrews, all those people, they had faith, and because they had faith, they did something about it. And it says, if they had not done it, then their faith would be dead. Dead faith by itself, being by itself. If faith is alone, stands alone, and I stand on faith alone, then my faith is dead faith. Because it says, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. You believe, verse 19, that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe, and they go one step further, and they tremble, it says. You believe that there is one God, even demons believe that there is only one God. But you don't tremble, but the devils do. And then it says, in verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Earlier we saw, man is justified by faith, but it is not by faith alone. Faith is not alone. It says, a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. That means when you are saved by grace through faith, we are created in His image unto good works. God has called us to do good works because we are saved. And that is the mark of me being born again. And it says in Titus chapter 3 verse 8, Paul telling to the young co-worker Titus, he is telling Titus, you affirm constantly that they who have believed, that is those who have faith in God, might be careful to do good works. I hope it is there in your Bible. Paul is telling Titus, affirm constantly that those who claim to have faith must be careful to do good works. These things are good and profitable. It's not just faith alone. It's faith and works. It is something like two wings of a bird. If it has only faith, it goes in circles. But if it has faith and works, then you can fly. And you can go and reach your destination. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, a day will come when every man's work will be tested, and that will be tested by fire. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is, whether it is made of wood, hay and straw, or gold, silver and precious stones. Wood, hay and straw will get burnt up and become ashes. But gold, silver and precious stones, they remain. So it depends on what kind of work you are doing. Whether it is temporal, whether it is going to be burnt up in ashes, or it is going to go through the fire. Like Peter says, your faith is more precious than gold. Fiery temptation, fiery trials, he says. When we go through that fiery trials, we should come forth as pure gold. And then we shall receive rewards according to our works. And you know that well-known verse in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ one day. We all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ one day. For what? That everyone may be recompensed for the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This is again works. Good works or bad works, you are going to be rewarded there. Remember, we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. Whether I have more faith or less faith, it doesn't matter. But has it been accompanied by good works? I am not talking about attaining salvation by good works. That is not biblical. Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. And then it says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2:10, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. After we have been born again, we show to the world, or it becomes natural for us. Before we got converted, we used to naturally behave badly with people, shouting at them, losing our temper and doing so many bad things. Because that was our nature. When we get born again after repentance and faith, then God gives us a new heart and a new mind and a new nature. And that newness of life will be manifest by doing good. It speaks about Jesus. He went about doing good, anointed by the Holy Spirit. So, if after having been born again, I am not going about doing good and being a blessing and a help to others, means there is something questionable about my salvation. And it comes automatically, because you cannot hide it. What you are inside will be made manifest outside when a new birth takes place. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away and all things have become new. And one last word, Jesus said in Revelation 22, this again is speaking about works. Here Jesus is telling, Revelation 22, verse 12, he says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am coming quickly, my reward is with me to render to every man according to his works, according to what he has done. So will we stand with confidence before the throne of God, before Christ's judgment seat, or we will have to shy away in shame? So let's take God's word seriously. It is not just faith, but also good works that accompany them, not precede them, that follow them. So may the Lord imprint these things in our heart. and mine. Let's bow our heads in prayer and close.